Heavenly Father, we're very, very glad that that one who covered Israel, who came abiding over them because of the blood now, because of the same, that washing, cleansing blood, the presence is here, and we are safe in that presence, and no way in ourselves fit, but through the blood, we have become perfect unto you. And we're very happy that this is also a part of perfection. When that which is perfect has come, then perfection comes to a bride. And we see then all things are perfect, going back to another perfection upon the earth and going into future perfections, which reveal always thy greatness, and we're very glad for that. Now be with us, we pray, in the study of your word. May we not find it tedious, but may we find it joyful. May it be illuminating. May it build us up in the most holy faith, coming more and more into that full assurance that's going to take us right in into that which we have just the barest little clue and inkling, but will unfold to us. We commend ourselves therefore to you. By grace, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, before we begin the message, a couple of announcements. Born on May the 13th, quite possibly the name is Tricia Marie Sproul, to Judy and to Terry. Terry said they weren't sure, so don't announce the name. When he said Tricia Marie, I said, that's it, she'll call it. She'll call the baby that. 6 pounds, 10 ounces. And I sort of expect for sure, nothing sure with me except that he's here and we expect to go wherever he is. But definitely going to try to get away sometime this week so I can be in Buffalo for next Sunday and in Toronto the Sunday after. Not that I want to go, but always those things happen to me that I start getting interested in something and have to disrupt my thinking. But I got enough set of notes on hands that hopefully I won't get it disrupted. I can come back and pick it up where it was. I think also Lloyd has something planned for Memorial Day if I'm not here. Whatever you got worked out is certainly fine. Well, have a nice time, and hopefully I'll have a nice time too. Now, we want to talk this morning, and if any of you have to leave early, you just feel free to leave. Not that I want to see you go, and not that you should go. But if you had to go, it's all right. And if you get too tired, these seats are very nice. That's one thing that's good. The seats are very good. I hope that I don't keep you too long, but I have a lot of scripture to read, and I want to read it. I don't think I want to set it to one side. And we're very happy to see brother and sister agree with us again today. I just wish they'd have come by last night and help us eat. We wouldn't have to have leftovers then. It wasn't that bad. It was very good. It's just, some things, I don't care how good they are, it's, I like any kind of food almost, but I gotta be honest with you, some types just don't agree with me. And we had nice barbecued spare ribs last night and baked potatoes and the whole bit. And, I shouldn't eat that. I feel the reproductions in the old joints go creaking and cracking and grumbling and groaning. Of course, I'm the one that groans and grumbles. The joints don't. They get me doing it. All right, we're going to talk this morning on immortality and the kingdom. And this will be about number 4 on that subject of immortality. And we're not finished yet, but we want to take more thoughts on immortality and the kingdom of God, which is coming to earth. We went into it a little bit, then we dropped it, and now I want to go back to it. So we're going to read in Luke, and here's where we start reading with a lot of scripture. Luke 22 and 14 to 20. Luke 22, 14 to 20. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide amongst yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Now, over in 1 Corinthians 15 and 50. Now, remember what he said. He said, the kingdom of God. All right? 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot sit down with me and eat in the kingdom of God. And you say, that's not reading Scripture. That is reading Scripture right. Because I'm talking about the kingdom and immortality. Now, I'll read it the way it's in your Bible. Not based upon Luke, although it's got to be based upon Luke. This I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I put it this way. Flesh and blood won't even be in the kingdom. So flesh and blood, if it's not in the kingdom, cannot sit down and eat with Him. So you see, I don't trust Scripture. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. In other words, it's an entirely different kingdom inhabited by entirely different people, not doing entirely different things altogether, but in a different way. 1 Corinthians 15:22-23, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, the one who came first, out of the grave from the dead with an immortal body, never to die again. Afterward, they that are Christ at His presence, then cometh the end. All right, 1 Corinthians 15:51-53. Behold, I show you a mystery concerning you that are alive and that will be in that kingdom, how you are going to get there. I show you a mystery, we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. You say that's sleep, you're right. But that means death. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. They're going to come out of the ground, the sleeping ones. Now we shall all be changed, those of us who do not sleep, and those who do sleep are going to have a change. They will not come back the way they were. For God will create again bodies. So when this corruptibility, speaking, for this corruptibility must put on incorruptibility, speaking concerning the body of the dead and of the living, period. And this mortality must put on immortality. Now that's what he tells you. All right? Matthew 16. And verse 28, verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. You want to see what it's like? All right, let's read. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and beareth them, lifts them up, to a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun. And his raiment was white as light. Now that's what you get in Revelation 1 and 12 also, remember. It'd be the same thing that comes down in Revelation 10 and 1. Not that you and I can behold him, but this would be an actual picture. Now, behold, there appeared Moses and Elijah talking with him. One represents the law, that those that die, and one represents those that are taken up without death. And answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, we make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And while he spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud that said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear you him. And then it says over here in verse 9, he charged them that no man tell no man the vision until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Now this is a future, this is a picture of the future kingdom, which is after the resurrection of all people, based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is the original first fruit. Now remember Luke 22:14-20. He said, we're going to eat and drink again. And you'll notice what form they are going to be in. Now, my understanding of the doctrine of the coming kingdom of God on earth, as taught by Brother Branham, is vastly different from that which is taught by the fundamentalist who has his own viewpoint. Now, the fundamental viewpoint, sketchily presented, is that Matthew 25:31-46 is the result of Revelation 19:11-21, and Revelation 21:6, which then coincides with Zechariah 12-14. So let's take a look at them, because you didn't get what I said. I don't even get what I said. All I have my notes down. Okay, I said that the viewpoint of the fundamentalist is in beginning Matthew 25, 31 to 46 as pertaining to how this kingdom comes to earth and what it really is. You follow me? Okay. Their viewpoint differs from my viewpoint because I have studied previously and believed their viewpoint, but have been converted to Brother Branham's viewpoint. Now, this is why I'm teaching this, because it's 10 to 1 a lot of you don't even know what it's all about. You've come out of this church and that church and you know really nothing. And I don't mean to insult you. Let's face it. You don't. You just don't have a background of it. Whereas I had been quite improperly, fairly, yes and no thoroughly, on their viewpoint. Okay, let's go to Matthew 25. And we'll start here, 31 to 46. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He shall sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth sheep from goats. Now, categorically, they are telling you this is after the battle of Armageddon. When nations, which we'll talk about in this further scripture I read to you, will be there, and they'll be permitted to stand in a non-glorified form and be separated as nations. And those nations which are called as sheep, not real sheep now, but allowed as sheep, they will be allowed to be in the millennium for 1,000 years. Now, this is the fundamental viewpoint, so I want to warn you. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, the goats on the left. Then shall the king say to them on their right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungry, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? When do we see you sick in prison and come to you? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. And he'll say to them the left hand, Depart me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for devil's angels. I was thirsty, you gave me no meat. I mean hungry, you gave me no meat. Thirsty, you gave me no drink. A stranger took me not in, naked, you clothed me not. Sick in prison, you visited me not. Then shall they also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, stranger, naked, or sick? In prison, did not minister. And he'll answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to the least of these, one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And they'll go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now you see, they say this is at the beginning of the millennium. And these are nations which have treated the Jews well, which would count America up to this point. What if they turn now? And they will. Now, England treated the Jews very well. And there's still a sentiment there that they will treat them very well, but what if the Jews make so much trouble that for their own good they got to get rid of them? Now, this leaves out Russia and Germany, and perhaps Austria, and no doubt Hungary now because they're under communist rule, although the strange thing is, the communists are Jews in Hungary, and they're running everything, lock, stock, and barrel. And you could kill any Russian during the 56th rebellion and go back and they'll make you almost a president. But if you kill a Jew, your head goes off. So Hungary really loves a Jew. Are they going to make it a lady? Now, come on. This is the white throne judgment at the end of the millennium in the second resurrection, which is a general resurrection. It has nothing to do with the advent or the implementation of the millennium period. But the fundamentalists say, oh no. Oh no. This is all the nations that were there at the end time, and these goody-goodies will be allowed to get in, and the baddie-baddies will be exterminated. Now, this is the result of Revelation 19, 11 to 16. Now let's take a look at it. In other words, this is the king in Revelation 19, 11 to 16, who comes back and does this of Matthew 25, 31 to 36. Let's see him come back. And I saw heaven opened, behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he that judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, so he's got to be king. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him, followed white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness wrath of Almighty God, and on his vesture and on his thigh and him written, King of kings and Lord of lords. Now they say, see, that is at the time of Armageddon. He comes back, upsets the whole plan of the nations, the Antichrist, the beast, the whole system, and throws them into the pit, lake of fire, and so on, and he takes over, and then he judges those nations. That's what they say. All right? And Revelation 21 to 6, let's read it too. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, because 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that, he was loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon the judgment given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead, not again till 1,000 years are finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that part in the first resurrection. On such a second death had no power, but they'll be priests of God in the Christ and reign with him 1,000 years. Now they're mixed up on the thrones there. See? They're mixed up on the thrones. They think the throne of Matthew 25 is this same one here. And that is not so. All right. This, what they say in Matthew 25 and Revelation 19, Revelation 20, coincides with Zechariah. This is a tremendous force to scripture. That's before Malachi. Chapters 12 to 14. Now, this is where we hit some of these lengthy readings. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. That's how that spirit's outside of you, that waiting for the baby to be born, then comes in, see? It's permitted of God, but not of God. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and Jerusalem. Now notice, and now watch he's saying here. There's going to be a siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. Now that sounds pretty good right now, because Jerusalem is a burdensome stone right now. Now you see, they're trying to get, what is this? They're trying to get Syria, I guess, out of there. And unless they get out, Israel's not going to get out. And it looks like the Schultz and his boys are broken down. Hey, Bibb and Schultz aren't going to get any good because, the old drop-off boy from Russia may be behind the whole thing. We're not sure. But there's a mess going on right now. Yes, Andropov is certainly behind a lot of it. Now, he says here that, and all that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Now, see, the people aren't going to take their hands off. Now, the United States has put its hands on in the name of peace. Russia's putting its hands on in the name of peace. And God says, I'm going to cut them to pieces. Now, you believe the Bible or don't believe the Bible. It's just that simple, see. You see, we're going to read this Bible with intelligence, which God gives us, not which fundamental knowledge gives us. In that day, saith the Lord, I'll smite every horse with astonishment, and his rider with madness. I open mine eyes upon the house of Judah, and smite every horse of the people with blindness. Now, you know that word horse there signifies the power. Power gone mad, and those in control gone mad. Atomic bombs. I got a tape in my possession right now where a man actually lived. One of the smartest men in the Hebrew. He's an American archaeologist, and he figures he's going to find the ashes of the red heifer. In fact, every indication is that he stumbled upon it already. Which will turn the priesthood loose over there. And he was used during the 7-day war as a lookout. because the Arabs and the ones left him alone because he was an archaeologist. And he had a secret code arranged, and he said right now, he said, Israel does have the atomic bomb. And he said, they have weapons I am not allowed to talk about which could destroy the world. He said, they could destroy Russia. And he said, they know they could. I don't know, I wasn't there, Charlie. But it gives you room to think. Now, this guy's nobody's fool. This man is nobody's fool. I'm going to let you hear the tape one of these nights. It's just a matter of what you know. I got some very interesting tapes that you should hear. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of the host their God. And that day will I make the governors of Judah like a hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheep. And they shall devour all the people round about in the right hand and the left, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even Jerusalem. Now you see they're putting that way down the line. Well, I want to tell you one thing. If you can find anybody that's more a flame of fire than Moshe Dayan was, and now Ariel and Sharon, I'd like to see who they are in Begin. Boy, they can incinerate just about anything. And don't tell me they can't. See? Now, we're not talking about a guy like Gandhi who upset the British Empire. We're talking about these firebrands. They know how to light a fire under the fox's tail and put all the grains like the day of Samson. These boys learned their lesson back in Samson's day. He ain't going to kid them. And the Lord shall save the tents of Judah first, and the glory of the house of David, and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them, at that day shall be as David. Whew, man. See, and the house of David shall be as God. They're going to call destiny. And as the angel of the Lord before them. Now, I see what we're looking at is scripture that makes everybody say, hey, I got this thing all figured out. This is exactly what is going to happen at the time of Armageddon, the end of the Gentiles, and ready for the setting up of the kingdom. Now, they got this all figured out. And it will come to pass on that day that I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem. Now, I say, why is it going to be this way? What is going to happen there that one person should be as David and the house of David should be as God? Because God's in it. See, they're looking for God to come to the rescue. They're looking for Revelation 19, 11 to 16. See? They're looking for Matthew 25, 31 to 46. And they say, this is it. I'll pour out upon verse 10, I'll pour about the house of David upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication. They'll look upon me whom they pierced. That's very good. Oh, this great one coming. Hey, who are you anyway? Shows you nail prints. Oh, they said, my goodness, not that really. I hope not, but. See? Yeah. This was the atonement of mourning. They look upon me whom they pierced and shall mourn him as one that mourneth his only son and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And in that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem as in the mourning of Hadad-Rinnon and the valley of Megiddon. And the land shall mourn every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and your wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and your wives apart, and the family of the house of Levi apart, and your wives apart, and the family of Shimei apart, and your wives apart, and all the families that remain, every family apart, and your wives apart. I tell you, they're going to forget wife and kids and everybody. This is dealing absolutely with one in a revelation. Now, I could say something here, but I'll just let that go. In that day there should be a fountain opened in the house of David to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. All right, that would be the 144,000 sealed in. And it shall come to pass in that day, said the Lord of hosts, I'll cut off the nations, the idols out of the land, the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall be no more remembered. And I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land. It will come to pass that when any shall prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say to him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother and begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesied. I say that's the way it's going to be, and God's going to set up a pretty tough kingdom. Now, you keep these things in mind, because I'll be going back to some scripture. It'll come to pass in that day that the prophet shall be ashamed every one of his vision, when he had prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am no husband, for a man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. What in the world do you need a prophet for if he's there? Well, how visible is he if everybody's going around prophesying, and they got to thrust him through if he is there, having showed his hands? Oh, well, I'll tell you why. Just wait a while. We'll tell you how they got this thing figured out, and he ain't got figured out at all. And one shall say, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then shall he answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, the sheep be scattered, and I'll turn my hand upon little ones. Now that is the prophecy concerning the Messiah who came and died upon Calvary. Now you see they're being informed that that scripture has been fulfilled. And yet he's supposed to be there as the king in the land, and yet all this muck's going on. Then who needs it? If that's the best there is coming up, you can have it. I just tell you right now, that's my stance. I'm not a fundamentalist. I'm not a fundamentalist or a phony mentalist. I'm a renewed mentalist. It'll come to pass in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein should be cut off and die, and the third shall be left therein. And I'll bring the third part through the fire and refine them as fire, silver is refined, and try them as gold is tried, and they shall call on my name, and I'll hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Now that's got to be Israel. Something's got to happen down there somewhere, because for this reason, in his name, the Gentiles have already trusted. So I think we're getting on pretty slippery water when we're going to believe what the fundamentalists say. Now, if you're catching everything I say, if you're not catching, don't worry about it. I mean, I understand that. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. And I'll gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished, half the city shall go into captivity, the residue of the people shall not come out of the city. Now one place he's going to save, the next place he's not. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem in the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall be removed toward the north, and half toward the south. Do you know the San Andreas Fault goes all the way over there? The earth is just like a, you know those marbles that they put the heat to, and they look like they're full of all nothing but cracks, you know? And the outside is pretty firm looking. You'll see they use them for decorations, you know? You know those marbles women buy for decoration? Okay, if you ever get a picture of the world where the earthquake zones are marked, that's just what it looks like. Indy will fall off. You talk about over in the West Coast, California falling off. Pap, that ain't nothing. Indy is going to fall off. There's a tremendous divide there. And then what do you think about here? We got a nice one up here toward Erie, we got a nice one around Chicago, and there's some right around here. There's no place where it isn't. Well, what happened out in California, that big earthquake? It harmed a firecracker. They found there's a volcano coming up. Shh. So I say, just a minute now, we got a lot of thermal energy out there. Who can harness it? And you know what? It wasn't the San Andreas fault at all that shook it. It's a new fault they just discovered 30 miles down. Man, this world ain't got a prayer. Why pray for it? You know, a lot of people are wasting their time, God's time and their time. God's not listening to prayer that can't go through. It's like people make false vows. Yeah. You know, people say, you know, they make a vow to God and it's false. They shoot their mouth off. Like Ruby Wood. Brother Brad said, Sister Woody said, you got to get that tumor taken out. Oh, she said, Brother Branham, I made a vow to God. She said that I wouldn't let a doctor's hand touch my body. I'd just soon commit adultery. He said, Sister, it's a wrong vow. So the day was coming, Ruby Wood was dying after Brother Branham's dead, years later. And now that tumor is so bad, God knows what will happen. The arteries and the veins, everything around it. So what do? The boy says, and the father said, we're going to take in whether you want or not. And the tumor was taken out. Her life was saved. Now where's her vow gone? Well, you say, she's a coward. She isn't. It was a false vow. It was a wrong vow. I'm going to tell you something. There's only one person doesn't back up, and that's God. But every other person had better back up, and it's only the fool that won't. See, because God doesn't have to back up. Now, there's some funny vows made around some of the people in this church here. I won't let you forget certain things, brother, sister, not as long as Lee Vale is, because I'm responsible. You'll face up. I don't say you did, but there were. They were wrong. Don't stick your neck out. You notice I always say, I'll never go there unless God tells me. I've learned never to say never. Calls come right behind and qualified. By the grace of God, I'll stay that way too. All right, listen. It says here, feet stand upon Mount so-and-so. And you, in verse 5, you'll flee to the valley of the mountain. And there's a fellow at west, he thought that was Tucson. Oh. For the valley of the mountain shall reach unto Azal. Now, where's Azal? All I know is he, Brother Brandon said that the Phoenix was Jericho, and he was up there in Tucson, which is Jerusalem, so on. Boy, oh boy. You know, if it weren't for people's mouths, they could walk better. But it's pretty hard to walk around with your feet in your mouth. Like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come and all saints with thee. It'll come to pass in that day the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be known, it shall be one day, shall be known to the Lord, neither day nor night, that now. At evening time it shall be light. You say, well, Brother Bill, could that repeat? Sure, under the seventh trumpet. Seven seals, seven trumpets, same thing. At evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day living waters shall go up from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea, and summer and winter shall be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth, and that day there shall be one Lord, his name one. And the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south to Jerusalem, shall be lifted up and inhabit her place, from Benjamin Gate to the place of the first gate, the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel unto the king's winepress, and men shall dwell in it. There shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Now that sounds like the atomic bomb, right? Yeah, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue consume away in their mouth. It'll come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one his hand upon his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. Judah shall also fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And it shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, the camel, of the ass, and all beasts, and these shall be in these tents as in this plague. Now you think for 1 minute that there's going to be atomic bombs and all that other stuff there too? Well, they might as well bring in horses and cows and ride on pigs. There's a lot of what you call symbology here. A lot of simile, comparison. You just got to leave it, but you can see right here that there's literally as though there is a conflict concerning the city as to what happens would be at different times. Now the question is, what is really ahead of us? That's what we're looking at. And we want to find out from Scripture what really lies there. Not with the fundamentalist, without a prophet, attacked in good faith and came up with very oblique, impartial, and actually not answers, but non-answers. For the question becomes compounded. It'll come to pass, verse 16, everyone that is left of the nation, now listen, watch what they use here. Everyone that's left of all the nations would come against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, and keep the feast of tabernacles. And it shall be also that who will not come up of all families of the earth under Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, even them shall be, there shall be no rain. Now it looks like you've got 1,000 years down the road of hodgepodge. You've got 1,000 years of haint and saint. See? Now, if it's, that's the way it's to be, then fine. Let's read some more. See? The family of Egypt, and if the family of Egypt go not up and come not up, it says, if they don't, they won't get any rain. There'll be a plague, and the Lord will smite the heathen that will not keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, what is the Feast of Tabernacles? The Feast of Tabernacles is where they got in and they had their, what is it, their little cottages made out of willow wands and things. And it was a symbology. Why do you need symbolization when he is there? See? What good are washing the pots and pans and this and that? See, because all is going to be done away in Christ. This should be the punishment of Egypt, the punishment of all nations that come enough to keep the feet of the tabernacle. And that day there shall be upon the bells the horses holding sons of the Lord, and pots in the Lord's house shall be like bowls upon the altar. Every pot in Jerusalem and Judah shall be holding sons of the Lord of hosts, and all day the sacrifice shall come and take of them and seed therein. And in that day there shall be no more Canaanite in the land, in the house of the Lord of hosts. Now they take verses like this and they say, see, this is the millennium. This is the kingdom of God on earth. and it is a hodgepodge. It's a compilation, it's a composite of the saint and the sinner. See? All right? Let's go to Joel, the third chapter. Now look, these are a lot of scriptures they use. And if you like it, you can have it. I mean, it's all right by me if you want to be a fundamentalist. You say, well, hey, they got a lot of truth there somehow, because, you see, listen to me, this is exactly where that man in Germany went haywire. He couldn't believe the prophet. He had his own idea. And his wife ended up with phony visions of him carrying the sword, and he ends up in perfidious adultery. So blatant. Or blatant, how you pronounce it. Blatant is more like it. Because it's rougher and tougher. That he flaunts it before the world's face. And people got the nerve to criticize college kids in Chicago for having intercourse right in public on the grass. On a so-called man of God. We'll have filth like that in these names. I'm tough. I'm sorry about that. I hang tough. You do what you want. I believe the prophet. Now, these boys have taken these scriptures, and they say, hold it, the prophet cannot be right because. Because what? Guy had a vision, so-called, I guess it was. He said he saw stored up food before Brother Branham did. He came to Brother Branham for the answer. I said, so what? So did Nebuchadnezzar. He had the vision before Daniel, so they had to come to Daniel. What's all this hogwash? You make yourself some big shot. Ooh, I got some good scripture on that, but that's another sermon. That's another sermon. Just give me time. You may not get out of here for 3 months. All right, Joel. Third chapter. For behold, in those days, and in that time when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. And I will gather all nations, and I will bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Now, you see, this corresponds with Revelation. And will plead with them there before therefore my people, and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And they have cast lots for my people, and given them a boy for a harlot, and sold a girl for wine, that they might drink. Yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coasts of Palestine? Will ye render me a recompense? If you will recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? Because you have taken away my silver and my gold, and carried into your temples my goodly pleasant things. The children of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have ye sold to the Grecians, that ye might remove them from their borders. Behold, I raise them out of the place whither ye have sold them, return your recompense upon your own head. And I will sell your daughters, sons and daughters, into the land hand of the children of Judah. They shall sell them to the Sabaeans, to the people far off. The Lord has spoken it. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords, your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Assemble yourselves, and come all ye heathen. Gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened, and come up in the valley of Jehoshaphat, and there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. See, now that's your Matthew 25, the throne. See, the judging. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full, the fats overflow, for the wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley decision. And the sun and moon should be dark, and the stars should withdraw their shining. That's great tribulation. But you notice the very strange thing, is this out of chronology here? Because Armageddon then evidently is going to precede this. I thought this went through for 3.5 years before Armageddon. The sun and moon will be dark, and the stars withdraw their shine. The Lord shall roar out a sign, and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people, and the strength of children of Israel. If that's the case, then God has already established himself in Jerusalem. How did he get there? Under what condition? See, the fundamentalist can be very glib and say this and this and this and this. Well, prove it. Where do you get it? See? So shall you know I am the Lord your God dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain, then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall be no stranger pastor anymore. Now evidently they don't know this, because now he's going to prove that he is there. It'll come to pass in that day, the mountain shall drop with new wine, and the hill shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth out of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. Is that when the mountain splits in two, and the waters go sweetly from the Dead Sea from now on? The Mount of Olives, is that when it splits? Egypt shall be a desolation, Edom shall be a desolate wilderness, the violence against children of Israel, Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their hand. But Judah shall dwell forever in Jerusalem from generation to generation. For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion. Okay? Let's go to Isaiah 54. Now you see what they do, they take all of these scripture and put it together, and they come up with a computerized formula. What if the information put in the computer is wrong? What if somebody put a bunch of information under B when it should go under Z? Now the computer can only come up with what's fed into it. So okay. Isaiah 54, 1 to 3. Sing, O barren, thou dost not bear, break forth into singing, cry aloud, thou dost not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of Mary, wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation, spare not strength in thy course, length in thy state. For thou shalt break forth in the right hand, the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate city to be inhabited. Fear not, and so on. Read the rest if you want. Now that's what they say there again. This is Israel in her glory, overshining all the Gentiles, because God has established her. She is going to ride high and mighty upon the people. The people shall be a horse, and she shall dig her spurs in, and she shall have the sanction of God. Now, come on, you get it right out of these verses. Now, you're not sitting here ignorant people that can't understand. You can follow your Bible. I'm not reading that fast. And you can understand what is being said, and this is what they're saying. So just keep it in mind. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 60. These are just some of the verses. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall shine upon thee. And the Gentiles, or nations, shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Now that they've got that future. Okay, let's keep reading. Lift up thine eyes round about and see, they all gather themselves together, they that come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then shalt thou see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the force of Gentiles shall come unto thee. And the multitude of camels, and so on and so on. 11 to 22. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually, they shall not shut day nor night, that men may come bring unto thee the force of the Gentiles, that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish, yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Now, during the 1,000 years, if somebody rebels, they're gone. Well, come on. So that's what the millennium is. No, I kid you not. Now watch. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, the box together. This is just one of the big theories. There could be dozens more. To beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons of them also that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all that despise thee, they shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. And thou shalt suck the milk of the Gentiles, and thou shalt suck the breast of kings. And thou shalt know that I am the King, the Lord, I the Lord am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For brass will I bring gold, and for iron I'll bring silver, and for wood brass, and for stones iron. In other words, he just ups everything. I will make thy officers peace and thine exactors righteousness. In other words, everything is going to be fine with them, a wonderful, wonderful nation, and the rest of the people outside will be kind of filthy, filthy, mucky, mucky, murky, murky, maybe not so bad, maybe pretty good. And those that don't qualify, they're going to have something bopped over their heads, called a rod of iron. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land. And at other places can be there. Wasting destruction in thy borders, but thou shalt call thy wall salvation, thy gates praise. The sun shall no more light thee by day, now hold it. About as long as the earth shall last, there's going to be sun. Could this be metaphor concerning New Jerusalem? Sun shall no more go down. You can't have continual day. Neither shall the moon withdraw itself. In other words, you've got two lights up there going continuously. Is that symbolical? The days of thy morning shall end. Thy people shall be righteous. My hands that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, a small one, a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten these times. Let's go to 61. Let's go to the 6th verse. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord, and men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your saying ye shall have double, and for confusion, they shall rejoice in that portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double, everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment, I hate robbery for burnt offerings. Burnt offerings? And I'll direct their work in truth, I'll make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, their offspring among the people. All of them, all that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed of the Lord, where they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. Okay? Let's go back to Numbers 24, 15 to 19. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor said, the man whose eyes were open, he said, which heard the words of the Lord and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty fall into trance, and having his eyes open, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not now. There shall come a star out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel, shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy the children of Seth. Sheth. That word Sheth means two mulches. And Edom shall be a possession, Seir shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. And Edom shall be out of Jacob there shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. And when he looketh on Abimelech, he took up his parable. Well, that's enough right there. All right, let's go back to Hosea, the third chapter. And verses 1 to 5. Then saith the Lord unto me, go yet love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord, toward the children of Israel, who looked to other gods and loved flagons of wine. So I brought her to me for 15, bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for an omer barley and half an omer barley. That's about an omer and a half. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide me many days, for thou shalt not play the harlot, thou shalt not be for another man's, so I also will be for thee. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, without a prince, without a sacrifice, without an image, without an ephod, and without the teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. Now, these are some of the many, many scriptures that they used to preach a restored kingdom to Israel. The understanding they present is that the first coming of Jesus as Messiah to Israel was turned down, as indeed it had to be in order for Christ to redeem them and us from sin. Now, as Israel spiritualized Isaiah 53, that is concerning his sacrifice, they spiritualized it, calling it the sacrifice and the spirit of a nation that was brought low. They do demand, however, literally, I say, though they turn down Isaiah 53 and spiritualize it, they demand literally Isaiah 9 and 6 to 7. And so do the fundamentalists. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government be upon his shoulders. His name be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David. No end upon the throne of David. No end of peace upon the throne of David. And upon his kingdom, it'll keep on moving. Kingdoms, called throne and kingdom, to order it and to establish your judgment. And with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. All right? The fundamentalist treats, and he treats it correctly, that Israel never understood the coming of Messiah as Redeemer from sin. But they did want him as him to sit upon the throne. The evangelicals or fundamentalists say that in his return as Messiah King, he will set up his kingdom on earth. He will judge the nations and let all those nations who help Israel at the outset of Armageddon remain alive and bear children for 1,000 years. In other words, the kingdom of God will on earth be inherited by flesh and blood. Now that's your statement. And these nations that have been good to Israel. How could all nations come up against Israel, 3 billion people? It'll be token. That's why you got the United Nations right now. Therefore, everybody represented at that time against Israel or for Israel would be blotted out or saved according to the stand they took for or against. I understand all are against her. Yeah, so much for that. That 100 years, I mean, beg your pardon, that 1,000 years of those nations existing under Christ and the bride are taken from which I read in Revelation 19, or started to read, when he comes as King of Kings. Continuing now, 17 to 21, I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of the heaven, come and gather yourselves together to supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, the flesh of all men, both bond and free, small and great. Now notice, he said, he's calling for the fowl of the air, the carrion birds. And so there's been a tract written concerning Israel, that the vultures have multiplied until, where did they come from? And that's a lie, they haven't multiplied. So much for fundamental Christianity. When you've got to tell lies, to hope you're bringing Scripture to pass. Hogwash. I don't need to tell lies, and God doesn't tell lies. And Paul said he doesn't give God any glory by lying. Like a fellow used to run around telling all the miracles he saw in his ministry, and my wife said, just a minute, how can you get away with that when that wasn't the way it happened? Well, he said, what's the difference, long as the people's faith has increased? So much for soggy fundamentalism. Now, I hope I don't hurt your feelings, but let's get this flat. Some of you people may be kind of young in this thing here, and you better understand there's a lot of phony baloney. There's a lot of hypocrites. The devil himself makes himself an angel of light, an impersonator. You know, the first encounter that human being had with Satan was through the serpent, a very slick individual. He wasn't covered with hair. Ever seen a snake covered with hair on 4 feet? People understand that he's very slick, very smooth, and he can talk. We don't need to tell lies. They told lies when they wrote the tract. Verse 19, I saw the beast, the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. The beast was taken, the false prophet, that wrought miracles before him, which he had deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. That's the church system. Those were both cast alive in the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Symbolical. How much flesh is left after atomic bombs? Brother, sister, it doesn't add up. It doesn't add up. It tells you right there they consume. There's a lot of symbology here. All right. It's likened unto it. Now, how do you get then people standing there for the millennium? Revelation 21 to 6. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and great chain in his hand. Laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him, and he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon and judgment given them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, received his mark upon the forehead and their hands, and live and reign in Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead live not again. And then it said, blessed and holy is he, apart from the first resurrection, they'll be priests of God and of Christ and reign 1,000 years. Now they say that's the millennium. God comes down, and he sets his throne up with the Lord Jesus Christ the Lamb, and the bride is around, and the bride and he are ruling the earth. And they're ruling the people that are in the earth, in the city of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is the chosen city, and so God sits there, the Lamb and the bride, in Jerusalem, and all the fine Jewish people that God has saved and is keeping. And these are mortal people, they are not immortal people, and they are raising families throughout the whole earth. Now that's what they teach. I know because that's what they taught me. Now, Revelation 19 and 15, and out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and he should smite the nations and rule them with a rod of iron. Now, at this time, in this 1,000 years of reign with Christ, the bride, and Israel, he lays the law down. So, therefore, if there's adultery, you're gone, just like that. Well, I won't embarrass anybody, but I'll say with Brother Branham that if God killed everybody who committed adultery, there wouldn't be enough living to bury the dead. I won't raise my eyes and look at anybody. You're forgiven anyway. But you won't be then. You tell light, you're gone. You make one move, you're gone. That's what you got to. That's a rod of iron. That's what they say. He's going to rule. Going to put them under the law. But being born the way they are, even though the devil has been removed, being born, you'll still have your sin nature. So you'll hate the things of God. Unless, of course, something happens to you. Nice. Would be like redemption. Now come on, put yourself there. Put yourself there. What are they going to do to get help? Oh, the glory of the Lord covers a nation. They say, but that won't be enough to bring them in. No, they'll still, they just won't like that bearing down with the law. Got a bunch of Seventh-day Adventists, that's what we got around the country. Bunch of legalists. Now, come on, I'm telling you what they tell. How they put the scripture together. It'll be 1,000 years of strict rule by enforced decree. And those who disobey will endure the severity of the penalty of the law. The old Puritan regime of the stocks will look like chicken feed alongside this pile of hay. This will make the rebellious very angry against God and his elect, so that when Revelation 20:7 takes place, and when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And he'll go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, and gather them together to battle, number them being the sand of the sea. In 1,000 years, there'll be billions of people born. And will they be livid with rage against God? And here he is. And they can see the glory. Like the beacon house. The beacon light. Come on! I'm a vulgar preacher, but I do it on purpose. Come on. Is he going to be so veiled in that hour? So, after 1,000 years, there's going to be billions of people there. I thought it was going to be kind of a Garden of Eden. Shit. Man, there's something wrong here somewhere. And so they compassed the bread, they went up on the bread of the earth, compassed the camp of the saints. Now this is just called a camp. Beloved city. Fire comes down and destroys them. See? Now that's where they got it all figured out. So, this will make the rebellious very angry against God and his elect. So that when Revelation 27, down to about verse 10, 11, right, read the whole thing through. The living in that 1,000 years period come up against the king, and he and the saints will destroy them. Then will come the new heavens and the earth, and the righteous will reign eternally, while the rest of them will suffer eternally. Now, we do not pit scripture against scripture, but we believe in revealed word, wherein scripture is correctly divided. The word cannot say one thing, then another thing that's directly opposite. Nothing is wrong with the word. The trouble lies in the false interpreters. For the false interpretation by so-called prophets and teachers who are in themselves evidently wrong. To begin with, let us just go to Daniel. Daniel is the Jewish prophet, and his life was one of prayer to God for his people Israel, as we see in Daniel 9:3-6 and verses 16-9. Now let's go back. Now here is what he is talking to God about. He is worried about his people. What about my people? And I set my face unto the Lord. That's 9:3. To seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes, and I prayed to the Lord God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant of mercies to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity, have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from Thy precepts and from Thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto Thy servants the prophets which spoke in Thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. All right? 16-19. O Lord, according to Thy righteousness, I beseech You, let Thine anger and Thy fury be turned away from Thy city, Jerusalem, Thy holy mountain, because for our sins and iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem, Thy people, are become reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of Thy servant, his supplication, cause Thy face to shine upon Thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline Thine ear and hear, open Thine eyes, and behold our desolation, the city which is called by Thy name, for we do not present our supplication before Thee for our righteousness, but for Thy great mercies. O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive, O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for Thine own sake, O my God, for Thy city and for Thy people that are called by Thy name. Now he is in agony for his people. And notice, reading on. And while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sins, the sins of my people Israel, presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I have seen in the vision from the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. Now some people say angels don't have wings. What does he fly with? And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, commandment came forth, I came to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved, therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most High. 70 weeks is all they've got left, which is 490 years, period. From that time until it's all over as pertaining to Jewish history as a nation per se. Then know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem and to the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. All right, how many is that? 62. 10 weeks to go. There's 7. No, 7 in the 70s. There's 69. 67, 2 to go. The street shall be built again, and the wall in troublous times, after 62 weeks. Now that tells you right there. Shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself? And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and sanctuary, and the end shall be a flood unto the end of the war. Desolations are determined. Now, know therefore and understand, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now, 7 weeks is 7, and 60, and 2 to go makes you 69. Now, it tells you distinctly that this is divided into segments, of which only there are 70 or 490 years, and it tells you when it starts. And we saw it absolutely start when God gave permission to Nehemiah and Ezra to go back and do something about it. So it started way back there. So now, and after 62 weeks. Now watch, after 62 weeks. Now that's your 62 and your 7 have gone by. Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Now notice, what comes after 69? 70. Now that's all they've got left. So it's in the 70th week that Messiah gets cut off. Alright. Now the last week is 7 years. And Jesus had 3.5 years of prophecy because he was the prophet and this is a prophecy. So now there's 3.5 years to go. Now people can do what they want with it. And it tells you, people, the prince shall come and destroy the city, the sanctuary, and the end shall be a flood, and the end of the war, desolations are determined. Titus comes in and blows the whole thing up. Now you got 3.5 years to go. Now this is where everybody makes his mistake, because they dig into all the scripture there. Just a minute, they say, Hosea says this, and Isaiah says this, and Zechariah says this, and Ezekiel says this, and somebody says this, and that says that. And they say, I don't care what anybody says, then Daniel's wrong. Daniel's wrong. Because they make it 7 years instead of 3.5 years. They don't realize that 70 follows 69, because that's the way it's supposed to go. They think 69 and somewhere way down the road. Come 70, not so. 70 follows 69, gets cut off. Now here's where William Branham had the truth and the rest didn't. Now, of course they say not just a minute. But we don't have to worry about just a minute because we know what is being said here. Now 70 weeks are determined upon the people. Okay, now watch. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and your spending abomination shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now right away they say, now hold it. The reason we know we're right is because it says right here, in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice. But it doesn't say that. Actually, with the 70th week left, one half of it gone, it's going to absolutely duplicate what took place. He was cut off in a half, and a covenant in the second half, that's a half of the second half, gets cut off. There is a covenant. And right in the very middle of that period of 3 1/2 years of 12, 30 day months. What's it, about 1260 days per year? You can multiply by that 3, take the number of days, and exactly in the middle of those number of days, the covenant will be cut off. Because Israel will have to enter into a covenant with the Antichrist the same as every other nation will too. Because there's no way that she can maintain her economic integrity unless she does it. Now, okay, that's the consummation, tells you it's all over. Now, there is no hint here, now watch, there is no hint here of a kingdom restored to Israel wherein she reigns and rules over all the earth. There is no hint. He doesn't say she will. Said it's all over. The history's gone. Now that's what people don't want to realize, that there are central truths in the Bible that you have got to recognize and close your eyes to everything that looks contrary until it moves together. Now they have to set this aside to get where they're going. There's no way they can do it but set it aside. They got to set it aside, and they have done it. Now, let's go back to Daniel 7. Here is the history of Israel from Babylon to the end. In Daniel 7, 1, that's we've got to read the whole chapter. That's why I say we're in for a lot of reading here. And it's just tough, but we got to do it. In the first year of Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told us some of the matters. And Daniel spoke and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up out of the sea, diverse one another. In other words, great political movements came up out of the people, and there were only four of them. Doesn't say five and six, it says four. And the first was like an eagle, had eagle's wings. The first like a lion, had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings were plucked, lifted off the earth, and a man, and made to stand upon his feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Another beast, like a second, like a bear, raised itself up on one side, had three of the mouth because between the teeth of it, and they said, thus, arise, devour much. That's the number two that came up. Those great forces that caused problems, that literally swept the people, whether which way. After this, I beheld and lo, a leopard that had on his back four wings like a fowl, and the beast had four heads, dominion given to it. And after this, in the night vision, behold, a fourth beast. Now, these are not at the same time, they follow each other, notice. Dreadful, terrible, strong, exceeding. It had great iron teeth, devoured and breaking pieces, stamped the residue with the feet of it. It was diverse from all the beasts who were before it, and had 10 horns. I consider the horns, and behold, there came up among a little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in his horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and the mouth speaking great things. Now listen, I beheld till the thrones were placed. Doesn't say cast down, until thrones were placed. And the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool, his throne like a fiery flame, his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth and before him, and 1,000,000 ministered unto him, and 10,000,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld them because the great words of which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Now look at, he interpolates this in order to let you know where this is all going. See? As concerning the rest of the beast, they had the meaning taken away, their lives were prolonged for season of time. Now he saw where this fourth thing ends up. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with clouds of heaven, and came the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all people, nations, and language shall serve him. The dominion is everlasting, and it shall not pass away, and his kingdom shall not be destroyed. Now hold it. He said, after the fourth kingdom, he looked way down the line and saw the end. Then he takes us back to the fourth kingdom, where the other three have gone, they're finished. The fourth kingdom has gone on until he sees Christ established in a kingdom. Now I want you to tell me where it says Israel. I want you to tell me where it says that there's more than four kingdoms. Alright, I was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, the vision of my head troubled me, and I came near to one of them stood by and asked him, saying, asked the truth of this, and he told me and made me to know the interpretation. These great beasts, which are four kings, which arise out of the earth, that's the people. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever. Now who's going to take the kingdom? The saints of the Most High. Or you say, well, Daniel, he was praying, he said, to know about Israel. Well, he's going to know about Israel. And he showed him where it went to. Israel only got 490 years left it. Then I would know the truth. The fourth beast was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth of iron, nails of brass, he devoured, broke in pieces, stamped the red to his feet, and of the 10 horns on his head, of which the other of another one came up, before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and mouth spake great things, that whose look was more stout than his fellows and more fierce, of course. I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment given the saints the Most High, and the time came the saints possessed the kingdom. I want to ask you a question. Who's going to possess the kingdom? Haints or saints? Well, they say, well, that you see, what that really means is that they're going to take over and rule all these people. I want you to prove it. Because they're gone. The fourth kingdom ends. It doesn't say that it goes on. It says the saints possess it at the end of the fourth kingdom. Right at the very end, while the whole thing is going on, the saints are in absolute authority and power and come right down and just wipe her out. Now listen, you always have to fight for everything you get in this world. A lot of people are a little bit squeamish about a fixed battle, about coming back and taking over. I'm not. Because they represent the devil. They don't represent my God. And I got no truck and trade with the enemy. A lot of women, you know, during the war, they'll kiss the enemy soldiers to make out with them. No bride is in the kissing business. She's in the sword business. I beheld the same horn made war with the saints. The Ancient Days came, judgment given. Verse 23, and he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all other kingdoms, shall devour the whole earth, and tread it down, break it in pieces. Now listen, let's get it. That fourth one is going to own it all in the cosmos system. The bride is going to come with her Lord and Savior and take it all back in the future system. And the 10 horns, the kings are 10 kings, will arise, and another shall rise after them, and shall be diverse in the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he speak great words against the Most High, and whereof the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they'll be given into his hand for time, times, and dividing the time. Notice the 3.5 years. 3.5 years. Now you can tell right there that something is going to happen at the time of Israel. 3.5 years. And then during that 3.5 years, remember that Elijah and Moses returned to Israel, and there will be a conversion of 144,000 sealed in. So, all right, in the 3.5 years left Israel, you're going to find 144,000 of them will become a part of the first resurrection, though they will not be bride. And judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy to the end. All right, after the 3.5 years, the 144,000 sealed in, the whole thing gives way. The kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. Now he tells you right there, the end of the matter is Israel's got 3.5 years left at a certain period of time wherein the Antichrist rises up. Confirms a covenant which he breaks in the middle of the 3.5 years. Now, in that period of time, the 144,000 are going to be sealed in. Now remember, the saints are coming with him at the time of the destruction of the Antichrist. So Revelation 19 does not refer to the Jewish element or the Hebrew, call it not. It refers to the Gentile element where they are coming down to take over. And at this time, there's only 144,000 in that 3.5-year period. That's all. Now, therefore, there will be nothing go into the millennium except those who have died and are resurrected, or those who are standing here and will not taste of death. Because that says this is the end of the matter. There isn't any more matter. See, there's just no more matter. Now, I hope you understand that, because that's what Brother Branham taught. There is no mention here of a fifth kingdom on earth, as we know kingdoms today, wherein Israel would be the head of the fifth kingdom. See, you say, well, what they teach is that Israel with God is the head. What is the difference? See, what is the difference? You can't have it because he is the king and she is the queen. And queens don't rule. They're consorts, as it were. They share in their prestige. Now, verse 28 says, here too is the end of the matter. He said, that's it. So after this, there is the fifth kingdom of grace. Look at Daniel 7, verse 14. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all people, nations, and languages should serve him. That's right, all those that come up. His dominion is everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom which shall not be destroyed. No way. After the 1,000 years, when the devil comes against it, the devil gets pushed aside, he's destroyed. 21 to 23. I beheld the same horn and made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the ancient day came. Judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. The time came that the saints should possess the kingdom. Now, there's no difference. You say, but just a minute, I believe there's a difference. Let's find out. Let's go to Ephesians. Here's the man that had the revelation on it. Oh, now I know the fundamentals. He sees this too, but he doesn't see it the way we see it. Ephesians, the second chapter. Now he says concerning the Gentiles, you who were called the uncircumcision. Verse 12, without hope, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you were sometimes far off and made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now who's going to rule the millennium? Christ. How's the Jew going to get there? By the same blood. Same offering. For he is our peace, who has made both one, and broken down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained ordinances, for to make himself between one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both, what? Both Jew and Gentile, unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which are far off and them that are near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, in whom all the whole building fitly joined together into an holy temple in Christ, in whom also you are built together as an habitation of God. And that's according to what it says in Ephesians, the first chapter, in verse 10, that in the dispensation of fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both in heaven which are on earth. Here's your kingdom. It's not what they say. It's what the Word of God says. All right. Let's move to the end of the matter, or the history of Israel, without reading chapter 10 and 11. That's of Daniel. Except to say that they refer to the last kingdom and its influence on Israel. We go to chapter 12 of Daniel. And in verse 1, at that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince that stands for the people of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was, since there was a nation even that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one of them that shall be found written in the book. And how many? 144,000. That's all. Remember, Dan is left out because of idolatry and does not get back until the millennium. Or New Jerusalem. They're left out. Only 144,000. That's all that there are. That's all they're going to be. Now, that goes to Revelation chapter 6. Those whose names are in the book. And the 12th verse, I beheld, behold, the sixth seal open. Now, a great earthquake. Now, here's some of the things that were said in the scriptures we read previously. Sun becomes black as sackcloth of hair, moon as blood, and heavens roll back as a scroll. Verse 15, the kings of the earth and great men, and the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of mountains. Said the mountains and rocks, fall us, and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to abide it? Now, reading on. And after these things I saw four angels stand on the earth, on the four corners, hold the four winds of the earth. Now notice, holding the four winds, just like back in Daniel's time, empires to rise up, problems to come, that they blown out upon the earth. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, verse 2, having the seal of the living God. There you are, Holy Ghost, coming down with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom was given to hurt the earth and sea, say, hurt not the earth and the sea, and so on, till we see the seven, seal the servants of a God, of our God in their forehead. 144,000 Israelites get sealed in. No more and no less. Now remember, the book of redemption is opened under the sixth seal. Now, going back to Daniel 12, just hold that in your mind if you can. Daniel 12, the second verse. Many that sleep in the dust shall awake. Some to everlasting life, some to everlasting shame and contempt. And they to be wise shall shine as bright as the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as stars forever and ever. Now in there he's telling you the same thing that Jesus said. There is a first resurrection, and there is a second resurrection. In the first resurrection, only the righteous ones will come up in the bride, and the 144,000 will come up also with them, the Old Testament saints, and those that have been predestinated by God. There'll be a second resurrection, and there there'll be some allowed to come in, and some will be eternally put to one side. But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, knowledge be increased. And I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the river, the other on this side of the bank river, one man clothed in linen, which is upon the rivers of the water. How long is it going to be to the end of these wonders? And I heard a man of linen say, there was upon the river, the waters of the rivers, he held up his right hand, his left hand unto heaven, and swear of him live forever and ever. There should be time, and times, for a time, times and a half, 3.5 years. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things should be finished. Now, he doesn't tell you that Israel is going to be gathered again. He said, it's all over. See? It's going to be finished. And I said, and I heard and understood not and said, O Lord, what should be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way because the book is closed. Now, how in the world is anybody in his right mind that's born again and full of the Holy Ghost going to go to this word to find an answer outside the end time when the seals are taken off the book? You can't do it. That's what's wrong. You see, when you put seven seals on the back of a book, those seven seals do not obliterate everything that's in the book. Now, it means the book is closed. But those seals, look, you take a big scroll and you roll it all up, and it comes to like a round thing that you poke a calendar in. You know how you roll a calendar up? You poke it into a cylinder. Well, the scroll makes a cylinder. Now, you just take that one sheet, because it's one long sheet all wound up, and it's written on both sides, and you put a seal on it. All right, what you're looking at then is that you can see words that you can understand, but certain words you can't understand, and there's certain things you'll guess at. Now, that's exactly what Scripture's done all these years. They probed at it. Brother Branham used the exact words. They probed at it. Now, we have probed Scripture. Now, you can't tell and know until the spirit of wisdom and revelation comes into the truth, into the church, under the seventh seal, which rips the seals off the Bible. Now, prove to you. Revelation 22 and 10 categorically says, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. So the seals are ripped off somewhere between Daniel 12 for the Jews and also the Gentiles, and for us Gentiles and Jews, from Revelation 10 and 4, when the thunders were sealed. So some is ripped off. And when it's ripped off, what does it tell you? He that is righteous still. Right? The names in the book, 144,000. So the Jews are sealed in. But we're already sealed in. We're gone. Now you show me then that Israel has a nation left. It doesn't. It's all over. You see? So therefore they misplace the scriptures of the Old Testament where they go. And they say, well, look at what about this, what about that? Look at even Daniel said, what about Jeremiah? All right, listen. It's sealed. Then what happens to Ezekiel? It's sealed. What happens to Hosea? Sealed. What happens to Malachi? Sealed. What happened to Isaiah? Sealed. The understanding was sealed. Now let's find out if it was sealed. What about the fact that Jesus Christ came born of the Virgin Mary? And Nicodemus stood up for him one day. And he said, listen, our law doesn't condemn a man before it hears him. Oh, they said, shut up. You're supposed to be a one of the Sanhedrin, a smart name. Oh, come on, bird brain. Show me where a prophet ever came out of Galilee. Well, Jesus never came out of Galilee. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea. And don't think for one minute they didn't know it. You think after a mere 30 years that they had forgotten that Herod killed all the babies because of one person born down there in Bethlehem? They were blinded. They were sealed. The word was sealed to them. That's why they rejected Isaiah 53. They were blinded. Now you got a lot of people right today amongst the Gentiles are blinded. They're wretched, miserable, naked, blind, and don't know it, say we see. And Jesus said, the minute you say you see, he said, your sins are unforgiven.
Amen.
Let any man attempt to, now at this end time, apart from the seals, go into this word, he will be lost. Because he says, I see, and he's blind. The Bible says that. Well, you say, Brother Bale, don't Brother Bale me. Look, grow up. You're no longer babies and children. Grow up and take your place as a man. And stand with the Word of God or go home and stay there the rest of your life. Don't bug me. I can tell you that right now. I'd sooner preach to 6 people than 60 anyway. I'm not trying to get rid of anybody. I'm just telling you flat my sentiments. I never lied to you. I'm not going to lie to you. What I preach almost goes plumb around the world. And if I'm wrong, I don't mind for this one reason. I'll at least be used of God to scatter some more away. But I'm going to tell you one thing. You can't go wrong preaching about Him and His presence. At least you're going to give him that kind of glory, and I'll face him on judgment day. So, Lord, at least I try. My tongue is confessing to your presence. My tongue confessed your glory. I've done it. You say, well, you better confess a little more right this time. It's too bad because I got to send you away. Then it's fine. If he wants to send me away, that's his business. You see, we don't believe in fooling anymore. It's the seals, everything was sealed until that time. And you could look, you could probe. There were loose ends. What about this? What about that? And it tells you. There aren't 7 years left, there's 3 1/2. And it's in the middle of the 3 1/2 left that is cut off. And that's all Israel's got left. See, don't have all the time people think. All right. We were back here reading in Daniel 13 and 12. Now, I don't want to read the whole thing. You can go back to Daniel. Well, Daniel, oh, no, I won't. I've read enough of that. Daniel 12, 2 to 3, read it out. There's Israel's history. They are scattered from 70 A.D., until Romans 11:25, where the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And when the Gentiles come in, which Israel was blind to, then the Gentiles, at the end, are thoroughly blind to Israel. Sure. Can't be otherwise. They're thoroughly blinded. Now, God gets Israel back in the homeland. Now, so let's look at Romans 11:25. And I know that this is kind of hard to follow me because, look, I wish there was a way I could divide some of this up into about 5 or 6 sermons and then put it all together, but I can't do it. I just got to keep you here and then preach it and then put it back together in 4 or 5 more sermons if that's the way you want. I would not, brethren, that you be ignorant concerning this mystery, that you be wise in your own conceit. Notice that. That you get puffed up and think you know something and you're wrong. That blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness Gentiles in it, and they won't be blind any longer. Why? Because the seal will be taken off. And the last 3 1/2 years to go are theirs. then they'll understand the purpose and the plan of God and the millennium coming up, the seventh day that God missed. Seventh day is not Israel's day, it's God's day. He was to get his rest, he never got it. Okay, go back to Daniel 12 and 2 now, with what we just read here. In what I read to you in Romans. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some everlasting life. Why? Because the resurrections have set in. And the rest will come up later, everlasting shame and discontent. All right. Now, Israel's back in the land. And we saw that in Revelation 7, 1 to 8, where they're all sealed in, the 144,000. Under the sixth seal, we see the two witnesses of Revelation chapter 11, how that they are responsible for the word of God coming to Israel, where the Lord appears to Israel in a symbol, until later on he appears in his own majestic form as the incarnation. All right. It is thus you can see what I believe that all Scripture points to. It is that Israel will be gathered. It is that Israel will be gathered in Ezekiel 28, 25, 26, and Jeremiah 16, 13 to 16. Let's go back to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 28:25-26. Thus saith the Lord God, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they're scattered, and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the heathen, then shall they dwell in the land that I have given to my servant Jacob. And they shall dwell safely therein, and build houses and plant vineyards. They shall dwell with confidence when I have executed judgment upon all those that despise them round about them, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God. Now that doesn't say one thing outside the millennium. Now look it. If Israel's going to be ruling over nations the way people think she's going to be, what happens to the cosmos system that God is determined to destroy? It'll be right here. Won't work. Let's go back to Jeremiah 16:13-16. Jeremiah 13. Getting hot in here. I don't know about you, but I'm working hard, I guess. Maybe that's it. Want some fresh air, wouldn't hurt me any. 13-16. And he said, here, therefore, I will cast you out of the land, this land, a land that you know not, neither your fathers, that you'll serve other gods day, and that will not show you favor. Therefore, behold, the day comes the Lord. It shall no more be said, the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth that brought the children of Israel from the land of the north, and from the land whither he had driven in, I'll bring them again to their land, and I'll give them that I gave their fathers. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and shall fish them. See, that's with bait to tempt them home. And after that, I'll hunt with hunters. In other words, that's when Hitler came in, and Stalin, with a shotgun. And they're only too glad to run. And from every hill and out of the holes of the rocks, for mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is iniquity hid from mine eyes. And I will recompense iniquity in their sin double. In other words, he's going to forgive it and put it away. Since they defile the land, and they have filled mine inheritance with the carcasses of their death with abominable things. Now, he tells you that God is going to bring Israel back into the land. Now, that's what we're looking at. It is then that the last half of the 70th week comes forth. And by the time it breaks, the Gentile bride will be at the wedding supper in the palace. Now, the fourth, and remember there's only four empires, that tries to destroy Israel is well documented in Revelation 13, and it comes to the end according to Daniel 2:34-35, Daniel 7:12-14, and 2 Thessalonians 7:19-28. Now, you all know Revelation chapter 13. Now, this was the beast that came up. This is the one that looked like a leopard. Feet the feet of a bear, mouth of a lion. Great. And he is the seat of the enemy, the devil himself. This is his kingdom. And it's got to be a religious kingdom because, remember, everything is founded in religion. The devil's kingdom was not founded in cosmos as we know it today. He was the one who was one of the cherubs that covered. It was a spiritual or religious thing. Now, he is here. This chapter 13 is the beast that is the empire that comes back to life. When Rome was literally dissolved, it came back as a religious institution and is now over the whole world. There's no place where Rome is not. The two legs have gone out, and of course the Greek Orthodox section has given way to communism, which will come back under the great church system. It's got to come back. There's no way it won't come back, because there's no way they can exist without the system of the world. There's no way. And they'll have to come back for a time, but they will burn the flesh of the harlot. Now in here, this is literally America builds the image to the beast. It's America's money, and it's America's know-how, it's America's finances. Now, this same one, this same head of this great nation, which is a church setup, or great nations, the world empire of churches, is going to be confronted in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, wherein God himself will destroy them all. Now, I've read Daniel enough for you to understand it. Now you can see why Jesus answered as he did in Acts 6. Now, I'm going to leave you a little bit blank right here. I know I'm going too fast for you. But let's get the picture here. We get it. The sixth verse. They said to him, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Now, he does not answer them. He says here, the same thing that was said to Daniel, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. In other words, you're talking of epochs and a change down the road. That's exactly what Israel, Daniel, talked about. When is that change? And these men say to Jesus, when is there going to be a change? He said, forget it. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, but remember your season as Christians is the dispensation of the Holy Ghost. When that runs out, and no more will be baptized with the Holy Ghost, that is the time that God turns to Israel, because the fullness of the Gentiles is in. You follow what he said here? All right, that's what we're looking at. Now, there is no way he could have answered otherwise. There's no way. Let's go back to Matthew, the 23rd chapter, and verse 3. Now, as he sat upon the mountain, they came and said privately, tell us when these things shall be. That's the end of the earth, the temple ripped down in your presence. Now, watch verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, then the end will come. There's no more. It starts with a tremendous revival of Holy Ghost power and healing and miracles. It did on Pentecost. Acts 3, Acts 2, Acts 8, right down 10, right to the end of the book of Acts. Fantastic. It ends according to Acts 3, when in the presence of God, he is literally seen in miraculous manifestation of healing revival that sweeps the world, and has been going on since 1946. 37 solid years. Is there 3 to go? Don't ask me. I'm not a prophet and I don't deal with numbers. All I know is that this is the evidence the times of the Gentile is literally running out, because at the time of that Spirit, the baptizer himself, the baptism with the Holy Ghost gives way. It's all over. So I don't know if any one person is going to come in and be born again. Don't ask me. And I'm not saying anyone can't, because it's a mystery. And when the last one's in child train, you say, well, is that the time then God to... Yes, he's already turned to Israel, bringing him in the homeland. It's petering out. Listen, 20 solid years it took, at least, for God to leave Israel and turn to the Gentiles. Would it take 20 years for God to leave the Gentiles and turn to Israel? I don't know, but there was silence in heaven for roughly 20 years. 30 minutes is 20 years, about 10 months. I don't know. I don't have those answers. My answer this morning is dealing with the question. What about it? Is the millennium a place of immortality, or is it not a place of immortality? And I'm telling you flat from Scripture, it's a place of immortality. That these people have cut the Word of God up like a hunk of baloney. It won't work. Now it tells you, when will these things be? He couldn't tell them any more than this. When the times of the Gentiles run out. When the Holy Ghost is no longer available to the Gentiles. But the Spirit Himself is here to lead them in. See? The same one that comes incarnate to lead them in. And take them in. It's the same one because it's just one great big family in heaven and earth. Now, notice Matthew 24:3b part. Get back to Matthew. What shall be the sign of thy presence? Okay. We go to Matthew 24, 27 to 28. For as lightning comes out, he and shines to the west. So shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. It's going to be a light. It's going to be revelation. And it's going to gather together the people because they gather around the message. Then it says right after that is going to come a tribulation. True. Then 29 to 42. Tribulation coming. The sign of the Son of Man. Angel sent to gather in. Learn a parable of the fig tree. Now he tells you. And the fig tree is the emblem or the symbol of Israel. Now, when they're back in the homeland, he's putting forth a branch. See? Now remember, just as his branch. Why? Because he always goes a root. When God now puts forth the new branch, remember, in the book of Romans, he said, you, Israel as a branch was cut off and you're grafted in. When it's time for God to regraft Israel, he cuts off the Gentiles and puts a branch in. So Israel's back in the homeland. He's gathered them, as we read in Ezekiel and Jeremiah, and we can read other places. Bear them on eagle wings. He fished them. He gave them bait. The Zionist movement rose up and said, hey, come on, we'll get you back here. We'll buy the land. We'll help you. They raised billions of dollars. And they're in the Jews were too happy where they were. They're like a bunch of toads in a puddle. So God said, get out the hunters. They brought the shotgun. Wham, bam, 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 like the Hitler came along. Gas chambers. They said, come on, open the doors, boys. We can't get out of here fast enough. He gave them bait. They wouldn't take much. They want to be coaxed. And then the rest of them, they were too, had it too good to be coaxed. Oh, so I'll get you. It's like, you know, there over there, the God had an enemy of Israel. And Israel didn't have any weapons. So God raised up, he created a whole bunch of hornets. And the song said he did not compel them to go against their will. He just made them willing to go. You get a bunch of bumblebees or wasps up your pant leg. Yes, sir. Like a guy, oh, never mind this. That's a kind of a cute story. I'll let that one go. But the truth of the matter was, he was at a camp meeting, and he was up there in the woods praying. And some of those red ants crawled up his pant leg. And so he began making a mad dance, gyrating, and were leaping. And the people in the camp, they said, hey, that man's really full of the Holy Ghost, having himself a ball. He was being bit to death by a bunch of red ants. Now, he wasn't compelled to get off his knees, but he's mighty willing. Maybe he's both. All right. Now it says here, in this same portion of Scripture, so likewise you'll see these things, know that it is near, even at the door. What? Well, what he said here. Here. Tell us, when shall these things be? Not one stone, the sign of your presence, the end of the world system. Now, world system over is not a nation ruling by the grace of God. It is God Himself in control. Now, what's His subject? You're going to sit with me eating and drinking. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. See, here's the sign of the kingdom coming. Now, brother, sister, listen, let's understand this flat. There's somebody got something wrong somewhere. Then it says here, but as it was in the days of Noah, so shall also be in the days of the presence of the Son of Man. As it was at the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's going to be the same way. And they won't even know that he's here. And they're going to say he's not here. Jesus stood there and they said, who are you? He said, I am he that was to come, written up by Moses. Here I am. And they said, you're not here. Don't you think people change? People got an idea Gentiles differ from Jews. Ha! Hit them with a pen, watch them bleed the same blood. Pass a dollar bill under their nose, a Gentile grab it just as quick as the Jew any day. Give them a chance to wallow in his corruption. Gentile and Jew do the same thing. You show me one bit of difference and I'll laugh at you. You say, well, their noses. Fat. I got a Jewish nose and I ain't no more Jew than them, of course, I know. Just like Lee Miller, he called him Millerstein. He called me Balestein. So, and we both go to Schottenstein. Where the bargains are. So, come on. Two in the field, one taken, one left. Two grinding, one taken. The Word of God separating. Sure, right in this hour, brothers and sisters. Yes, there's four kingdoms. The fourth is where we get delivered. The fifth is grace, resurrection, immortality, and the kingdom. That is exactly 1 Corinthians 15. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Forget it. Well, you say, well, you see, really, I don't possess it. I'm there as a possessor. Oh, come on. Come on. Well, you see, my kids live in my house, but they can't sleep in my bed. They can't eat my food. What are you, some kind of a jerk? My wife, I tell people, look, of course, she's a responsible person. And she's been good to me. She's worked harder than I've ever worked. But her name's on the check, the checkbook, absolutely. And sometimes say, I want this. Well, I said, look, you ain't exactly stupid. You can write your name, can't you? You know where the money is. You know where the checkbook is. If I didn't trust her, why bother? That's my kingdom. Well, you think God's got a kingdom that's different from this worse than mine? Fact. Well, you say, well, he can trust the bride, but he can't trust those. Ha ha, that's exactly right. That's why they won't be there. Goodness me. The prophet didn't teach that kind of stuff, Brother Sister. No mistake about it. The end of the ages means immortality. And we are ready for the hour of the shout is here. Now, look, I'm going to just let this scripture go, because you're here long enough now. It's after 1 o'clock. I'll tell you what I'll do. If I'm here Wednesday, which I don't know that I will be, I'll just go on from here from scripture and take up the scripture here, New Testament, and just go on showing you. But what I want to get to you here, because some of you won't be back, is this conclusion in a sense of the word. Everything that Brother Branham preached and I'm trying to get across is all in the Word. It's all there. That which is perfect has come and shadow has given away to substance. So today, mortality is out of date. Mortality has run its course. See, I took you back to Genesis and showed you that he stood there and he said, lest he stretch forth his hand and live forever. That's from the ages to the ages, and there's 6,000 years of ages. So he said, he's not going to live for 6,000 years. I'll kill him in the first 1,000 years and raise him up in the seventh. If Adam was standing here for 6,000 years, inviolate by the enemy, God would still have to change him. Well, you say, well, Brother Dale, you don't understand, you see. What happened way back there in heaven, there were three gods, and the number one Father God, he went and did all this thing here, and the devil crept in. He shouldn't have made the devil. And the devil crept in, and he got things all messed up, and the Son said, I'll just iron it out by giving my life and the Holy Spirit. You said, you do that, boy, and I'll see that they come in. Then you see what he did. He had to let Paul write this later on. Hogwash. It was all in him. Amen. Trillions and trillions of years ago when he sat by himself in his own solitude and plumbed his own depth. He is the Word. He is fate, as it were. He's sovereign. It was all in him. And he saw way back there that because he was resurrection, in him was that great ability, he would make a man who would fall in a certain way through the woman who was under him. Because remember, Adam wasn't righteous. He was just innocent. And there he knew there would come a time when he would raise those people. It was already set. that after 6,000 years a new plan would come in. Mortality has gone by the board in my books. You say, Brother Dale, what if it happened because Brother Branham did say in August of 64, they asked him, Brother Branham, can children be born? Then he says, sometimes it looks like it doesn't, sometimes it looks like it won't. If I get an answer, I'll tell you. Well, he told me before already, he said, look, he said, how can a man build and another not inhabit if there's children? How can a man sow and another not eat, he said, if there's children? If flesh and blood cannot inherit it, in the kingdom of God, Satan is going to be bound. Then you, how about those children? There were children born and there were people here. How could they be tempted to do anything that was wrong? If Satan was already bound by circumstance, a chain of circumstance would be, there wouldn't be anybody he could affect. I can't buy it, brother, sister. I can just take the simple scripture the way the prophet taught it. It waits in the word of God. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And he said, we're going to eat and drink. And Brother Branham said it was a honeymoon period. And he said that who would be there would be those 144,000 Israelites. They were eunuchs. They were virgin eunuchs, and they'd take care of the bride. I say immortality, as far as I'm concerned, is out of date. It has to go by the boards. The word up to, but not including, immortality has run its course. It is now time for the word of immortality. See, all before immortality, where at this hour has run its course. 6,000 years are gone by. There's got to be a change. And every word, as far as I know this Bible, in my own life and what the prophet taught, my own heart, whatever God would show me from what the prophet taught, I say that from this point on, everything is immortality. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Come on, man. Let's understand it. It says here, flesh and blood will not inherit. I'm going to show you mystery. We'll not sleep. We're going to be changed within the atom instantaneously. The corruptible will be raised incorruptible. The mortal will put off immortality. We'll no longer be death doomed. And when this is done, it'll be under the understanding that death has been temporarily put aside. That's one of the things that he is doing right now. How is he doing it? He is doing it by the word that we receive becomes the word of God in our flesh. And he's building around our atoms this very word. Until it is not just a matter of saying, as he said before, he said, let the earth bring forth. When the earth did bring forth those bodies at his command. But he took his own loving hands and formed a body for Adam and formed one for Eve. And so he's doing the same thing right now. By the word that has come down in their midst. So there you are, brother, sister. The hour of immortality is at hand. The hours of mortality have run out. Yep. The resurrection is here with his quickening power to bring forth new and glorified bodies. Just like Israel going in its exodus, in the exodus out into Egypt, out of Egypt to the promised land. He said, get the lamb. He said, eat. Jesus said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Like the vision that opened the door to the Gentiles. Rise, Peter. Eat. See? Like Brother Branham said, meat in due season, spiritual food. Like he said, you're not feeding on the words of man, you're feeding on the body word of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is more than just a privilege, brother, sister. It is a command to rise and eat, for the journey is at hand. That's right. And when you rise to eat, which you have in this word, just understand this one thing. The pillar of fire is here to lead you into the millennium. The pillar of fire was here to instruct the prophet, to give him a revelation, which he passed on to us. But the Spirit is here to take us in. The same Spirit will take him in also, but that same one will raise him first. That same one that brought that word is the same one that's going to raise that prophet. That's right. He's going to change you and me. See, now let's understand this flat, brother, sister. You and I might not know the very moment that a bride is going to be caught away. But that's that great Son of God. Well, you call him the Son of Man, really. The one that is the body for the incarnation of Almighty God. We don't know when that one steps right down. We're going to meet him in the air. I'm going to tell you one thing. That's going to be wonderful.
Amen.
Sure it is, because that means, look, it's, you know, we're going to get out of here. Even if we're changed, which we will be changed in our body, we won't want to stick around here. How would it be if a little rabbit was, he always wanted to be a nice trout. And one day he got his wish. He got turned into a coat, but there was no water to swim in. Well, look, I'm going to tell you something. I don't like this milieu that I am in. When I get glorified, I want to get out of here. The way the world state is in. I want something commensurate, you know, to what I am. Because Brother Branham said, look, he said, God never made a fish with a fin until he made water to swim in. So I know when you and I get our change, there's something right out there. Because when we leave this body, there's something right out there. See? So let's understand this. We're getting ready for that that's out there. Flesh and blood can't inherit it, and it's ready to be taken over. So he's going to change it. See? The kingdom coming demands immortality, as far as I know. You say, well, brother, there, what if you made a mistake? Then I'll put it this way. If you and I aren't immortal, just know this one thing. They ain't nowhere going to make it anyway. Even a bunch of others do make it out being immortal. Now think that statement over. I can't preach another hour and a half on that one. But I want you to understand that. The bride will only get out of here immortal. And if you're not immortal, you ain't bride. Huh? So therefore, as far as you and I are concerned, the kingdom still has one great premise. We got to be immortal. If there's a million mortals down the road, which I don't believe for one second, if there's a billion down that road, which I cannot conceive by Scripture, and the prophet did not say there were, let me tell you this one thing. Flesh and blood cannot possess it, cannot own it, cannot have it. If there's going to be anybody there but a bride and an immortal group, they're simply going to be sitting around with their tongues hanging. I wish they had it. I'm not interested. My tongue has been hanging out long enough just to get this. It's been hanging out long enough on a promise. That's right. Which having not seen, I believe in. I wouldn't want to stand there and see it and not own it. So here you are. Immortality, I'm on my way. Let's rise. As the man said, there's somebody better make a place for me to jump because I'm going to jump. And I look at the same thing. I say, Lord, I'm coming. You get that place ready. Heavenly Father, we know that we don't have to prod you any way, shape, or form to say, Lord, get that place ready. The only reason that we are hankering at this time in such a way to have such a thing in our minds is because there is a place ready. And we're anxious to go to it, a little prematurely perhaps, but we would very dearly love to be out of here, to be changed in our atoms, and to get out of here, not simply for the sake of getting out of here, Lord, but we know there is something there that is so wonderful that we would never be worthy of it in the first place. And since we're depending upon it in every place by your grace, then, Lord, we're thinking in the same manner of this hour. By grace, could we not get out of here pretty quick, Lord? We know certain things have got to transpire. Some have already got their appetites more than whetted by being taken out of here into the paradise of God. And they're in their spirit bodies. And it is the place of tremendous love and such vibration of beauty and spiritual things that compared to this, they wouldn't want to, you know, get back around us again. They wouldn't want to, but yet we know that even they are longing for the hour when they come back here upon the earth and take over. So, Lord, we know this one thing anyway, that if we're going to be a part of your real kingdom and we're going to sit and eat with you, we believe without a doubt it's going to be on the grounds of immortality. And if there should be something over there on the other side that people just might simply come in yet, that they could be in a human structure, we still believe that word that they couldn't inherit that kingdom apart from it. And Lord, the best we know at this time is there's nothing left but the fifth great kingdom coming up, your kingdom on earth. Where we come back in the Edenic condition, having gone to the tree of life. Lord, we just doubt if there's anything else that we should look for other than what we look for now. Or believe that there is something anybody could look for other than the great kingdom of eternality with even eternal bodies glorified by your presence. Lord God, in this last hour in which we're living, when thoughts and understanding and personal joy at the thought of, respect and reverence for this great kingdom because of your presence, our part, and the great miracle of the resurrection, how sober we ought to be concerning it, how reverent we ought to be, Lord, and I ask you to help us this day that there might be a consuming desire amongst us, not that which comes upon us from our own willfulness, which we could certainly inject in there, but from the genuine revelation of that reality which is now extant and within our very reach, and as even as Paul said, I have been apprehended for it. It apprehended me. We're apprehended for it, caught up by it, as even the Apostle Paul, to be in that first resurrection. He said, I count everything but loss, that somehow I might gain that resurrection from among the dead. Lord, I've looked at it. I know that it's there. I've preached it. And I realize it. But it hasn't caught fire yet. Maybe it'll never catch any more fire. Maybe it's not supposed to until the day the change comes. But I would pray, if it's possible, that you could receive this prayer, not a false one, not outside your word, that you will hasten among us, Lord, the depth of the realization, the reality of that true first resurrection that's amongst us now, that we're being changed into, and what it means, so that nothing else could ever mean anything, that means it all. Lord, I know when we get there, and there's just nothing but nothing will ever touch us again, and we're looking at that. And we ask you, Lord, if you would just mind hearing us, and we know if it's according to your word that you hear us and you do it for us. And if it's not all the way like we would like it, I don't know. I believe, Lord, that you can give us an understanding and your own spiritual communication of it has become a saint, so that that appreciation will be there. The integrity concerning it, reality, and the coming of it. Lord, you know what I mean, Father, today. Want to get away from all the sham, all the willfulness, anything of myself and ourselves here as people, and see it single to your eye. To see it somehow the way you see it. God, I don't believe it's asking too much. I believe that you're helping us to that very end. And it'll be so in our minds, it gets right down to the very fiber and core of our being. I believe, Lord, that you do hear me praying this way. You don't mind it, that you will help us. And now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, in honor and glory to Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's sing, We'll Walk in the Light. And remember, that if He is in the light, and we're in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and that's where the blood cleanses. The blood of Christ does not cleanse outside of that light. God gave His Son, ransom for sin. The man might not be condemned, and yet it said this is a condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness. How is the blood going to cleanse you outside the light? Your people don't want to face questions like that, Brother Sir. But you got to face them, because that's the Word of God. You don't run anymore. This is where you stand still and face reality. I'll tell you something, it pays. I've never had it so good since I've learned to stand still and face reality. No, don't duck the truth. No, don't duck truth. Stand there looking at it. One day it'll look back at you.
Okay, we're walking around.